Thanks a lot, Nat. Great to have your company here on Afternoon. Sam Edmund with you up until 3 o'clock. Well, our next guest played 227 games for the Pies. He won a best and fairest there as well. He had a long and distinguished AFL career. Now he's in charge of fostering the next generation of AFL stars. He's the AFL Academy coach, Tarkin Lockyer. Thanks for joining us, Tarkin.
G'day, Sammy. How are you?
I'm going well. How are you? You've picked a fair old first year to take the reins at the AFL Academy.
Yeah, I think I'm not on my own when I say it's been an interesting sort of 12 months. But look, you get to this time of year, and I suppose we all sort of understand the frustration of what sort of happened. But we feel as though we're sort of making headway, looking towards the future, which is exciting.
Yeah, and obviously it's no one's fault, but you just couldn't have obviously predicted when you took the reins. I think it was formally announced in November. This was the year you would have had. I mean, how have you done it? I mean, can you take us through the challenges for the Academy this year? They must have been many and they must have been varied.
Yeah, look, it was quite a challenging sort of period, and none more so, I suppose, than here in Victoria. But, you know, with the what was sort of thrown at us, the diversity or the change in restrictions, depending on which state you lived in and what you were and weren't allowed to do, was challenging at times. But the one thing that did stand out sort of through the whole sort of process was just how driven all of the players and how sort of uplifting, you know, and the perseverance and resilience that sort of everyone showed was fantastic. And, you know, as we move towards the draft in a week or so's time, hopefully for all these sort of young fellows that have gone through this 12 months, they hopefully get an opportunity at the highest level.
You must have a pretty resilient group here. I know you're in charge of not all of them, of course, but I guess the cream of the crop, or the expected cream of the crop, you know, as they prepare to be drafted. I mean, have you got a pretty resilient group here, especially now after the year we've had?
Yeah, we do. And what we like to think that we provide for all of the kids is a holistic program that, you know, we're heavily invested in their football, but then also the high performance and well-being space that we, you know, we tip a lot of time in and ask a lot of the kids. So it's not just all about the football, but the life skills that they present as well. And the guys involved in our programs do an amazing job, you know, working with the kids and working on all of that sort of stuff. So we feel like they're well prepared, and they've certainly had a few curveballs thrown at them in this period. But that we will all be more resilient and more adaptable in the future, hopefully.
And has it tested you in that regard, not only your first year in the job, but because there's obviously been less football, no football in Victoria, that you've had to be, you know, as much counsellor and psych as you are coach?
look, I think, like everyone, you sort of look to try and be a little bit more resourceful. When you can't have the face-to-face contact at times, how can you interact via, you know, online platforms and other sort of strategies that you can use to connect with people? So we've certainly explored that, and that's potentially, you know, an efficiency that we've found that we didn't have before that we'll be able to use in the future as well when you're trying to connect people from all across the country using these sort of communication techniques that we can actually get people together more often.
What Tarkin Lockyer, we're speaking to here, the AFL Academy coach. Tarkin, what role did you get to impart on the, I guess, on the combines that were held across the country?
Yeah, not a huge amount, to be honest, because of the restrictions around the COVID sort of personnel that are allowed to come in. There was really a skeleton staff that were conducting those combines, and even having to be a little bit adaptable, and some of them were, you know, held outdoors and that sort of stuff, which is a change to what it's been in the past. But the pleasing thing is, over the last few weeks, that outside of Victoria, we held a bit of an all-star sort of series where the best players, the best talent from each of the states sort of got together and play against each other, which was a good showcase of game. And now here in Victoria, sort of moving forward next week, we'll have a training session with all the nominations from the combine here in Victoria come together and do a training session, which will be an exciting piece as well.
Yeah. So how many kids would you have at that? It was I think the reports had it at around 50.
Yeah, I think it's just under 50. So the nominations came in from the clubs for the kids to attend the combine, and all of those kids will also come along next Wednesday, and we'll just hold a skill session where they can showcase their talent and their skills. so that the recruiters can get an eye on them and have a look, and just a reminder of just sort of where the kids sort of sit. So, look, it's not going to be a huge session as far as, you know, gameplay and or match simulation, but it's just an opportunity for the kids to get out there and have a kick and a catch and really show their wares in front of the AFL recruiting staff.
And I guess the obvious question is, why wasn't there a game, or why wasn't there, you know, I guess a couple of games organised?
Well, just as far as the restrictions sort of go, and where it's placed in the calendar, the kids are just finishing up their exams over the next couple of days.
Yeah.
So as far as the preparation goes, they haven't been able to do any sort of formal group training in the last little period. So then to sort of bring them off no training and expect them to be able to showcase in a game is probably unfair. Mm. An unfair expectation on the kids. So look, we want to set them up to be successful, and I don't think that really provides them with that opportunity. So look, it's a compromise, I suppose, and at least it gives the recruiters a chance to run their eye over them, see over the last sort of 6 months who's grown, who's filled out, who's bulked up, who's slimmed down, who's really come along. So look, it's just exciting to get everyone together. It's exciting for the kids. We're really, really enthusiastic about getting them together, and it's a really good time of the year.
Yeah, it's a real symbol for the light at the end of the tunnel, isn't it? Mm. Which is fantastic. So I asked you if it had tested you in year one, COVID-19, no games, how you might have had to counsel the kids along. But have you had to play counsellor to the recruiters as well? How have they coped with all this, Target?
Look, it's a little bit like everyone throughout the industry, and I think everyone sort of understands that. Just through sort of what's happened, the game's changed a little bit as far as the economy within AFL footy, but then also, we have to be a little bit resourceful and compromising at times. So, look, there's a wish list of stuff that we've done in the past that we'd love to continue, but we also need to have that eye on the future on how we can be adaptable, how we can be a little bit more resourceful and make changes that, that we can continue into the future. So everyone's sort of a little bit open-minded moving forward, and I'm sure it'll continue to change and evolve as we move forward as well.
Well, I was just going to ask you about moving forward. I wondered how good your grasp is of what 2021 might look like at this point.
Yeah, look, we're trying to put together calendars and games and fixturing and all that sort of stuff at the moment. But once again, it's still fairly restricted on what COVID presents. So we've got an idea on what it's going to look like, and moving forward, particularly in the talent sort of pathway, we're really excited about the opportunities that we're providing to both the boys and the girls. So as far as the national body goes, we're really looking forward to continuing the alignment between where the national program, the state programs and community footy sort of sits, and how we can move together, because we're all in it for the same reason. We all want what's best for the kids. And, and particularly across both boys and girls, that really integrated model that we're providing, similar opportunities for both codes at this point in time.
I don't know where you sit with this, Tarkin, but obviously as someone who played the game and now you oversee, the next generation of talent coming through, you're as qualified as anyone to answer this. I mean, Luke Beveridge has been really bullish on raising the draft age. I think back in April with Jared Waitley, he called it a no-brainer to take it to 19. And he followed up on that this morning on SEM Breakfast, saying that the league missed an opportunity to raise the draft age. I mean, what would you say to that?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things where there's, that's sort of always up for debate. And even taking the NAB League to a 19-year-old competition next year is a significant change. And a lot of the thought processes around that are, that 18th year is a really big year for the kids, with school exams, obviously draft year and everything else that's going on around that time. So there is a fair bit of pressure throughout that year. So taking the NAB League as an example to a 19-year-old competition hopefully will alleviate a little bit of that. So it gives the kids an opportunity, and particularly next year in 2021, for the kids that miss out on the draft this year that haven't really had that opportunity to showcase their best talent in a game sense, should give them the opportunity moving forward to see that. So that'll be an exciting space to see sort of what happens and how that sort of transpires. But at the same time, your best talent in that 18th year, and we've seen it this year, with Matty Rowell and Anderson and the like that have come in and really impacted AFL footy in that 18th year, that top-end talent is ready to play. So You know, there's an argument for both, but certainly in that 18th year, they're coming into AFL footy and really impacting games, which is great.
Western Bulldogs fans, in fact, fans of all clubs, have heard the name Jamari Ugle-Hagan for quite a while now. It's been so much said, so much written, Tuck. And, I mean, you've seen him up close. I mean, what's he like? What makes him tick? And I guess the question that all of us wonder is he as good as advertised? Because, geez, the poor bugger's been hyped up enough.
Yeah, look, we in the talent pathway, we try to manage expectations as much as we can, and often that can be quite difficult when you come across someone like Jamara, and sort of the external noise, and obviously, with the potential of that sort of NGA pick and the Bulldogs using that selection, will be really interesting. If he goes pick number one potentially, or that early selection having an NGA player that gets bid on. But look, he is a really exciting talent, a super athletic sort of kid, gets up and down the ground, and had a really 2019, the final series for Oakley Chargers. He was exceptional in the final series. So as that bottom age talent, I think everyone sort of, identified that he's one to watch in the future. So look, we hope that for like any other kid, they live up to all the expectations, but yeah, we're really trying to manage that as much as we can.
That's been mission impossible.
Yeah, he's the poster boy for the draft at the moment. But look, he'll be fine, and he's one of a number of prospects that we've got that could easily go number one. There's been plenty. So
yeah, well, I was just before I let you go, I'm not expecting you to go through the whole list, of course, but just some of the other names for those that don't follow the draft, super closely, who we're talking about, who you expect to feature at the pointy end of the draft and maybe feature for a fair portion of next season.
Yeah, look, it's quite difficult to put a real line across the Victorian players, obviously.
Yeah.
Because they obviously didn't get to play this year, but the guys that had bottom age years that were sort of touted as ones to watch would be exciting. But definitely across the country, there's players in SA and WA that have had exceptional years playing senior footy over there. So there's names like Phil Thorpe and Granger Barras and McDonald that have had really, really strong seasons back in their state league competitions that we all, I suppose, expect to hear their names called reasonably early. But once again, we manage expectations. We have an idea, but the AFL clubs are pretty good at not letting us know too much.
Straight bat, mate. Just keep straight batting them. Hey, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Tark. And what a debut year you've had in charge of the AFL Academy. A year like no other. How often have we said that? But thanks so much for joining us. I hope it all works out for next Wednesday and obviously the draft beyond and everyone gets to where they need to go and it all goes smoothly as well for next year.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Tarkin Lockyer there, absolute pleasure. The AFL Academy coach, former Collingwood player, and headed up the Collingwood Academy for a time there as well, 227 games. And a few of you texting in off the temper text, reminiscing about a young Tarkin Lockyer tearing around Vic Park. And he came through with a number of those young pies, didn't they, when they were emerging many, many years ago now. I can't remember when Tarkin Lockyer was drafted, but it was a while ago now. But he's doing a great job in difficult circumstances, steering through the next generation of talent. And he joined us thanks to McCafe. Make sure you head to McCafe for a fast, safe and contact-free quality barista-made coffee. We'll take a break, back with plenty more on Afternoons right after this.